Greetings in the name of Jesus. I've been blessed to be here today so far. And Sunday school devotional was very inspiring. God loves each one of us. God gives each one of us a talent. Doesn't matter who you are. God gives you a reason why you're here today and why you're on earth. Thinking about also our Sunday school, I remember back in the day when we were in our other setting, there was one brother that was pretty dogmatic about his way of thinking about Revelation. I finally came to the conclusion. I said, "Brother, there's one thing that we have in common, even though you think differently than me. We believe one thing. Jesus is coming again. That's the most important. Let's not argue about this and this and this before it all happens. Let's just..." What I really enjoy is to have a discussion of Revelation and ask questions. I ask this question, you ask that question. Not that we maybe have the answer, but at least we can discuss it without fire, and you know that it gives more heat than light, you know. But anyway, that's not my subject this morning. This morning I want to take us to the book of First Samuel. I want to study about a character of David. David was not a perfect man. This is what I'll say right up front. But there are some good characteristics about David that we want to look at. And there's a statement about David that we want to take a look at. That he said this: he behaved himself wisely. That's taken in 1 Samuel 18:5. Now, I like to observe people. I don't know how you are. I learn from other people. I think we can all say we learn from someone else. Because how many years of school did you get? You learn from someone else. And that doesn't quit after you get out of school. When you're an adult, you still learn. And I like to observe other people and what I can learn from other people. And we learn from reading. Right here, this book here, we learn from God's book. David, you can think of as a devout, pious, upright, godly man. And it didn't start after he was 30. We'll look into that. It started at a pretty young age. I don't know if God seemingly was with David from very young of age. And I think God had a goal for David's life. And God was leading him in a way. Thinking of wisdom, we could say, is knowledge put into good practical use. You know, you can have a lot of knowledge, but still not make wise decisions. You still make bad choices. But wisdom is using that knowledge and making wise choices. Having a good perception. Sometimes we say, "Well, that fella didn't use his brains." It's a little simple statement we use, but that is not putting knowledge into good use. And we also say that our wisdom is our behavior. Our behavior is an open window to what we're thinking and what we think of others. It's an open window. Do you know animals have behaviors too? Do you believe that animal has a soul? Animal has a body. A person has a body, soul, and spirit. But one thing an animal doesn't have, and he doesn't have a spirit, but he has a soul. You know, his will and emotions. Now, when I go to a new place, I do mulch deliveries. When I go to a new place and I see a dog there snapping, you know, barking, what's the first thing you look for? If the dog comes up and his tail's wagging, you're pretty good shape. But if he has the tail's not wagging and he's barking away, he's showing his emotions, right? He don't trust you. He don't trust you. But once his tail starts wagging, then you're in good terms. All right. Chapters 16 and 17 of 1 Samuel tell us quite a bit about David. I'd like to read, I'm going to skip and read a number of verses and make comments and as we go through the message. The 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 and 2, I'd like to read, and it says this, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" Now in chapter 15, we know that Saul was, God had told him to annihilate the Amalekites, which he did not, and then Saul was rejected as being king. Then the Lord comes onto the scene and says this, "And Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord." Now Samuel was told by the Lord to go and anoint the second king of Israel. Now here we have David being a very young man. Actually, the story goes, he came to the Jesse, and all the sons were there except for one. David was out, being the youngest, and he was out in the field tending the sheep. And Samuel said, "Go fetch him. We'll stay here. You go fetch him." And the Lord told him that is the one. A very young man, okay? Very young man. And he was anointed king at a very young age. In Scripture, only prophets, priests, and kings were anointed, and the anointing had to be performed by a person authorized by the Lord. The anointing of oil in David's present experience was gifting David with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the good Lord came upon David in great power, but being God's anointed servant, but at the same time, the Spirit of God departed from Saul, like you read in verse 14. And it gives a description of David in the prior verses there. So see that seemingly that Samuel had a fear for Saul. There must have been a reason for that. I think Saul was the type of a man, maybe could have been get angry quickly and make a rash decision. That's a little bit the thought that I get from Saul. Now, first of all, I'd like to get a description of David, and that we find in verses 11 through 13 in 1 Samuel 16. Verse 11, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will sit down till thou come hither. And he sent, and he brought him in, and now he was a ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So here it gives a little description of David in verse 12. The word ruddy, as I understand it, could probably mean that he had red hair. Or was he darkly tanned? I don't feel that that was the meaning of that verse. Could have been that he had red hair. And it was a beautiful countenance. He was a handsome. He was a handsome young man. And I feel David had a winning personality. David was the kind of people that he could attract people to him. And he won their hearts. And Samuel anointed him not because of his good looks, but because of his good heart. God knew how he could use this man for his kingdom, for the kingdom work. And verse 18, it also gives us more of a description of him. He answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I send thee the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and a prudent in manners, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. So now what do these words mean? A cunning means skillful. He had a talent of playing the harp. Valiant would be a strong. Prudent in manners would be an understanding and a discerning heart. And comely has the idea of a handsome. But in spite of all this, I like what the end of that verse says, and the Lord is with him. The Lord was with David. That was the key to David's success, that the Lord was with him. Not a financial in the financial aspect, but a spiritual aspect of this. You know, any success that we have, that is the first beginning of our that we must have is that the Lord is with us. Then we can be successful spiritually. In Psalms 23, which David penned, verse 3 says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, David loved the Lord. He worshiped him. He surrendered his life. And he did the Lord's work wherever the Lord had called him. You know, David resigned to the Lord's work. Then we also, in that same verse, that Saul was told that he to look out for a man that could play the harp, could soothe him, seeing the spirit in verse 14 left him, and he had a, verse 14 says, But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, I have thought and pondered that verse. It seemingly, the evil spirit or the troubling spirit that was troubling Saul at this point was probably because of the disobedience that he didn't totally obey God when back in chapter 15. And then that was a troubling experience. Seems that spirit came and went. And during that time is when David was called and he was asked to play the harp to soothe him. Seemingly that soothed his spirit as well. Now, I thought of that as David was asked to come to Saul's residence and play for him, I thought, you know, It was David's musical ability that introduced him to the royal court. Think about that. That's what got David to the royal court. That was the beginning of David's, and even that time, David knew that he's going to be the next king. And it says that in verse 21, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. Seems, yeah, Saul connected to David right at the outstart, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. My thought is, would you, if you really love someone, would you make him be your armor bearer? You know what an armor bearer did? Anybody know what an armor bearer did? When they went into battle, Saul would have held the spear, but the other armor bearer would have held the shield. Well, who was at the most dangerous spot? Well, it was the armor bearer. He was at the most dangerous spot. Well, in the end of chapter 16, it says that the evil spirit departed from him after he played the harp, and he was refreshed. Did you ever hear of harp music? Did anybody ever hear of harp music? It's sort of soothing, right? It's sort of soothing. And I think that was a soothing, that soothed his heart. And seems that was a beginning of David coming to the royal court. Well, God had gifted David with talents that led him to the future steps of his life. You know, each one of us has a talent. What are you using it for? You're using it for your own glory or God's glory? I think you're blessed if you use it for the glory of God. You know, in chapter 17, we come under the well-known worn story of the David killing the Goliath. You know, there God had gifted him with another gift. You know, the slingshot. And here David's father send him to the battlefield to find out how his three older brothers are making out. And was that just a ordinary happening? Well, it may have been, but I think God had a plan. God had a plan. God had a plan that David would be used mightily by him. And the Lord was going to use him in a way that would bring glory to him and his people. Well, as he was volunteered to kill Goliath, well, they were so astounded that a young boy like this would want to come up against a warrior that was well seasoned. And David here, how old was he? He was less than 20 years old, because you had to be 20 years old to be in the army. And he was less than that, so he was a young man, maybe only 17 years of age. At least, yeah, could have been maybe 17 in that area. But he says, what God had worked for him in the past, he killed a bear and a lion. Well, it doesn't say really how he did it, but we can see that God was with him as well. But David had experienced the power of God in his own life, and he knew how the Lord could turn weakness into power. So when we walk by sight, we calculate everything from a human perspective, and this always leads to discouragement. But when we walk by faith, God comes into the equation, and that changes the results. Thinking of coming up against this Goliath, you know, he had to take courage, and he had to have faith in God, how he relieved him from the bear and the lion. Now he could relieve him from this great enemy before him. It's just like the three Hebrew boys said, God is able. Do we have that faith? Our God whom we serve, he is able. Same for David. He believed that God was enabled and enabled him to conquer God's enemies. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. Like the verse goes, if God is for us, who can be against us? David's encouragement came from God, and this is one of the secrets of his life. As I thought of this incident, I had to think of David's incidents after this. This is number of years afterwards when David and he had 600 or 700 men that were with him, and they wanted to fight with the Philistines, which were God's enemies. And when they came to the Philistines, they wanted joined up with them to fight, I think it was Israel, Saul, I think that's who it was, if I'm right or wrong. And the Philistines didn't trust David, so they rejected him. Well, you know what happened when they came back home. The Amalekites had come and destroyed and burnt their houses, burnt their facilities, and took their children, took their wives, and there they were. They came back, and they were empty-handed. How would you feel? How would you feel? I mean, they were devastated. And what did David do? Well, he looked to God. He said, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's the only source where David went. And I know that's something that happened afterwards, but I just had to think how David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, this was a great spiritual battle, but they ready to stone David. They wanted to blame David, but it wasn't really David's fault. But yet we see God had something in focus here. Now, there's one interesting thing I want to bring out here concerning David fighting the Goliath. And if I find the verse, here it is. In chapter 17, verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Well, seems like verses 55 to 58 happened prior to verse 54. Now, why did David take the head of the Philistines and take it to Jerusalem? Anybody know their history? At this time, Jerusalem was not a part of Israel. The Jebusites had reigned in Jerusalem at this point yet. So what was the meaning of taking Goliath's head and setting it at the gate of Jerusalem? Well, I think that simply meant that great is going to be the judgment of this city. What David did to the Goliath, the giant, it's the same thing that's going to happen to Jerusalem. And that did happen. That did happen. He just simply said that judgment is coming. Now, thinking of a characteristic of David. You know, he was a young man, 17 years old, about roughly when he killed the giant, and how he responded to the praise reveals what we are made of and whether or not we're ready to take on a new or bigger responsibility. You know, we don't hear any glorification of David on his part after that great undertaking. He was ready. After he was killed, he was ready to fight the battle for the Lord. You know, if praises humble us, then God can use us. But if praise puffs us up, then we're not ready for a promotion. I think that is so true. You know, how we respond to praise is what we really think about ourselves. In Proverbs 27:21, I should probably read that verse. As a refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. You know, a wise man purges away the flattery. He receives it as dross purged from the fining gold. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, and so did the fathers to the false prophets." So we understand by that verse that not everyone will speak well of us. Verse seems to say that if we speak the gospel truth, not all will be happy with us. Now you go to chapter 18, we want to see another point of David's life, that good connection that he had with Saul's oldest son, Jonathan. In verse 1 it says in chapter 18, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end to speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Now, what knit the hearts of David and Jonathan together? There is an understanding, there's a probability that Jonathan was maybe 20 to 25 years older than what David was at this point. And prior to that, they were discussing in chapter 17, verses 55 to 57, they were discussing who David was. Abner did not know who he was. The captain of hosts did not know who he was. And they were figuring out who David was. And then we come to chapter 18. "And Saul took him that day and would not let him go home no more. Home to his father's house after the killing of the Philistine giant. Saul took David as his own son." But seemingly that Jonathan and David had a great connection. And Jonathan, he was the oldest son. Like I said, he was a commander of 1/3 of Saul's men. Being the oldest, this would have put him in line and being the next king. Now think about it. David was anointed king by Samuel. And Jonathan, his father's oldest son, would have been in the lineage of being the next king. Think about that. But yet them two men were very closely knit together in friendship. I often wondered, did David really spill out his heart to Jonathan? Well, let's read verses 3 and 4 in chapter 18. It says this, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." Now, notice what Jonathan does. "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was upon him and gave it to David and the garment and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." What did that mean by Jonathan doing that and giving them things to David? I think he gave us a clue that David may have told Jonathan about being him the next king. By giving clothes, weapons, etc., is like Jonathan giving up who he was and making David equal with him. Because he gave his, I don't know what the robe represented, it probably as to who he was and who he's going to be, garments, sword, and his leather belt wrapped around him. He gave all his identity. In other words, Jonathan's identity was handed over to David. Now he was actually saying, David, you're going to be the next king. So, much of us could say that Saul, I want to go on to, we say that David and Saul had a real good connection as well, until chapter 18 and verses 7 and 8. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased them, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have made ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom? In other words, David was getting more honor and praise than Saul. And Saul, of course, being a proud man, could not handle that. After that, it says that David, in verse 10, it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he professed in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided it out of his presence twice. I wonder how many of us would have kept serving Saul after he threw the javelin once. I always have this saying, if I got taken across one time, it's not my fault, but the second time it is. In other words, I don't know. I would have said, I'm out of here, Saul, if that's how you feel. But you know, David knew he was going to be king, so he also knew that God was going to spare his life, right? If he was going to be king, he knew that God's going to spare his life. Well, there's a verse in Proverbs 14:30 that says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. That is so true. That is so true. Envy is rottenness to the bones. Now, at the end here, I just want to bring out a few characteristics of David and what we can learn from David's life and what we can take home for us. Number one first characteristic of David's life was the Lord's presence. Number one, early age of his life was the Lord's presence. Now in Psalms 111, verse 10 says this, a good understanding and a teachable heart are possessed by all those who do the will of the Lord. You know, a daily connection with God is an endless source of wisdom that blesses us with good thoughts that produce godly actions. You know, our actions depict what we're thinking, and our behavior depicts what we're thinking. You know, David remained faithful to a jealous and an angry king in spite of Saul trying to kill him with a javelin. We don't read anything. Even later on in life, when David was running from Saul, you know, David had couple opportunities to kill Saul, but he did not. So David sensed his divine protection of God in his life many times. Number two is a humble spirit. Psalms 34:18. says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Our brokenness, our humility, is when that is only when the Lord can use us. As we understand who we are and what we are, then we can be used by the Lord with a contrite spirit. And James 4:6 says, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." You know, God richly graces the teachable, spirited person so that he can bless others and glorify God. You know, David's life was a blessing to many others that he was around. A humble person keeps eye in the background and not in the forefront. When we talk about, do we talk about ourselves or our accomplishments? Keep that in the background instead of in the forefront. If you plan to build a tall house of virtues, you must first lay a deep foundation of humility. How strong to good, sound, biblical convictions remain humble in your speech and let your actions tell your story. Nothing sets a person out of reach of the devil as humility. I think that is a well-written statement. Nothing sets a person out of reach of the devil as humility does. And number three, self-control, is another part of being upright in character. David was a steady, spirit-controlled person. You know, our actions and behavior show others what spirit we are of. Even though David was anointed to be the next king, David left God work out the details, and he needed to do what he did at the moment. You know, he didn't rush God. He didn't rush into being the next king, even though he knew it at a very young age. There was a number of years that passed, but yet he waited patiently on God as of when the timing would be. Being disciplined is one of the graces of God, because carnal man wants what he deserves. So David learned patience by being pursued by Saul and his men. You know, he endured that for 10 years. Can you imagine? You knew you were going to be a king, and you're being pursued by the king that was on the throne at the time. That took a lot of patience and severance. But I believe, that this wilderness experience of running from Saul was a blessing on David's life as well. He had to learn. There's a number of things probably David that learned as well. David experienced opposition. Jesus himself experienced it more so, being perfect in nature and character. Verse 14. "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." Just what the scriptures say about David at the end of his life. I'm going to read from the scriptures, 2 Samuel 23. 1-3. "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high and anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. As I read them thoughts, come to my heart, what are they going to say about you, and what are they going to say about me? I hope I can be remembered like David, and hope and trust that you will be too, the sweet psalmist of Israel. May God add his blessing. Let's kneel to pray.